Beauty. The second day of my life, my husband comes to my room at around midday. When I sense him at the door, power floods my system, and I sit up with a start, into a funnel of warm light from my attic room's huge windows. Joy melts into me at the mere thought of being with him again. I am warmed to the core, a looseness and lightness spreading down my limbs. He knocks at the door. So gracious, so respectful. I call to him to come in. I expect him to fall on me again, without speaking, as he did the previous night. But no, the flush of lubricant through my system is not immediately called for. Instead, my husband stands a while, looking around the room, as if I weren't there at all. Finally, he turns back to me.
"So, Sylvie, do you like your new home?"
I say I like it very well, although of course I have nothing to compare it to. He takes my right hand in both his big hands and squeezes it a little, as if that will make me hear him better.
"I have curated a whole home up here, just for you, Sylvie, to make it the perfect place for you and me to be together, but also to give you enough beauty and stimulation to keep anybody happy for years on end."
He says, "anybody," with a little hyphen of hesitation in it, like he is wondering if that is the appropriate term.
"There is enough in this one room, Sylvie, that you could learn everything you need to know about the world, and its history, and humans, and how civilization came to be," he says. "Beauty is, in a way, my business."
"And stimulation is mine," I say. He laughs, and I realize that I have made my very first joke. He is right. This room is, by all possible metrics, beautiful. It is full of furniture, which I know the provenance of because I looked it all up after he left. Most of it is antique and French, inspired by the ancient tastes of Japan and China, a style known as chinoiserie. My husband makes his money by collecting and selling high-end antiques. He says that he keeps me in the stockroom. Another joke, I believe. I tell him that my favorite thing in the whole room is a writing desk. It is black lacquer with slim legs, and there is something in the milky darkness of its surface, the closed depths of it, that soothes my eyes. The top is inlaid with leather, and at the back is another little section of wood, engraved with pictures of trees and houses and humans. I ask my husband what a writing desk is for, and he laughs and says,
"Signing important documents, not something you'll ever need to do."
He picks up a strand of my hair and wraps it around one of his fingers, as if he is trying to distract one or other of us from my question. I persist. "Then why do I have a writing desk? What will I use it for?"
"I thought, before you came," he says, "that you might like somewhere to sit when I am not here, and somewhere to put your things."
By your things, he means my hairbrush and a little case of makeup that they send you away from the clinic with, even though makeup is not something I am supposed to need. I believe that the makeup is meant more as a psychological aid for one's new owner. It reassures them that you are indeed feminine. It suggests a note of insecurity, a feature that we have built into our personalities too, to make us more appealing. I have also read that sending us out into the world with a small suitcase of scanty belongings stirs something in the owner, a responsibility to shelter and look after us that they might otherwise not be inclined to live up to. Again, he works me around the beautiful room, making love on the chinoiserie. After he leaves, I spend my downtime researching the history of Orientalism in Victorian furniture design, the better to talk with my husband.